Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see your few smiling faces. Let's take our Bibles, please. And as I indicated this morning, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to study together those first five verses of Galatians chapter 6. For our reading tonight, though, I'm going to begin reading Galatians chapter 5. And I'm sure it'll be quickly evident as I go on why I'm doing that. So Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read some verses from Galatians chapter 5 before we get to the portion we want to consider tonight. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And if you go down to verse 16, please, of chapter 5. And we read, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And now Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. So tonight what we want to spend a little bit of time considering together is the ministry of burden bearing. So by way of justification, or introduction rather, I read verse 1 of chapter 5, verse 1 for this reason, because we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in justification by faith alone. Justification by faith in Christ, of course, brings wonderful blessings. And that's what we saw in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We enjoy true liberty from the yoke of bondage. And Paul, in the verses 16 to the end of chapter 5, has brought before us the nature, the characteristic of spiritual warfare, has contrasted it with the works of the flesh, and then has contrasted it for us for our understanding as to what the fruits of the Spirit are. So he's presented to us what spiritual warfare is about, that we are going to be involved in spiritual warfare, that we're to walk in the Spirit, we're to be led of the Spirit. He makes us understand what the works of the flesh are, contrasts it with what the fruits of the Spirit are, and helps us understand what those who are spiritual look like, if I can put it that way. The Word of God, of course, tells us by their fruits ye shall know them. And so having considered the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22, 20, and 23, we see what a spiritual person looks like. So Paul encourages us to live in the Spirit, and we're to produce the fruit of the Spirit as we walk in the Spirit. And so we, of course, as believers in the Lord Jesus, enjoying that true liberty from the yoke of bondage and living and walking in the Spirit, we are truly blessed. But with blessing comes responsibility. And so this is where Paul goes into chapter 6 and points out to us that there are with blessings come responsibilities. And so he will have us to understand that there are burdens to bear and there is good to be done. And so in Galatians chapter 6, Paul expounds on our responsibilities, beginning with bearing burdens, which we want to look at together. So in verses 1 and 2 of Galatians chapter 6, Paul begins to talk first about bearing one another's burdens. And Paul says that it is the duty of those who are spiritual, those who are walking in the Spirit, those who are showing the fruit of the Spirit, those who are spiritual by nature, those who are producing the fruit of the Spirit, are to be serving and helping, have a duty to the weak. The fruit that we are talking about was identified in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And these are fruits of the Spirit which enable us and prepare us for service, not only to God, but for the people of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on. And so, he goes on to explain that by doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, he says in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What Paul may have had in mind there is the commandment that the Lord Jesus gave us when he said, love one another, in John chapter 13, verse 34. You recall that the Lord said that we will be known as disciples of his by the love that we have for one another. The Lord Jesus also identified that as being my commandment. My commandment. And so he tells his disciples that they are to love one another. And in effect, what Paul is, in Paul making reference to this, having to deal with significant and severe legalism amongst the Galatian believers in the Galatian assembly, he is saying, in effect, okay, by doing this, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ. There is a comparison, a contrast that Paul is making to the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And of course, we know going to Hebrews that the things of Christ are better than the angels, better than Moses, and so on as we read. But here he's trying to explain to the Galatians that by having a duty to the weak and bearing the burdens of those who are weak is fulfilling this commandment of the Lord Jesus to love one another. So they that are spiritual are to bear the burdens of those who have ceased to walk in the Spirit, who cease to show the fruitfulness of the Spirit. And so that's why we've read those portions, to see that there is a contrast here. And we'll go on to explain further some of these things. So Paul is saying that the duty of those who are spiritual, the duty of those who demonstrate that fruit of the Spirit, who are walking in the Spirit, are fruitful in the Spirit, they have a responsibility and they have a duty to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 together for a moment. Romans chapter 15. And Paul explains to the Romans in this chapter. We'll read the first three verses of Romans chapter 15. And Paul says here, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then Paul goes on to cite the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he says in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And then he goes on to explain, Paul says, the purpose of God's word we see in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, and so on. Now let's just compare that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul writes there in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, but among yourselves and to all men. Goes on to say, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and so on. So this is something that is very near and dear to Paul's heart. This is something that is very important, and something that Paul explains, as we've seen in several of his epistles, that the spiritually strong are to bear the burdens of the weak. What does he say? Back in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul says, you're to restore those that are overtaken by their sins. Now, what is Paul speaking about here? Paul is not speaking of a determined, hardened sinner in this particular case. What he's talking about is someone who has fallen or finds themselves trapped in a place they never thought that they would be. And so some commentators have described it this way. Those brethren who have been caught off guard, taken by surprise, find themselves entangled in a sudden temptation. Not the result of sinful premeditation, but surprised by it. Again, being caught off guard. And so you see some connection with what we were talking about this morning, the importance of making a commitment in walking in God's ways, that we need to always be on guard. And Paul will go on to say that there is none of us that are above being caught off guard, that there is none of us that are above falling. And so when we think about David's commitment that we talked about this morning in Psalm 101, how important it is for us to make a commitment and to be guarded at all times in our walk before the Lord. And so that is what is being referred to here. And you see that that the terminology here said overtaken in a fault. Overtaken in a fault. Some commentators have said that that word fault is maybe a little too soft a term to be used. But there is a distinction here, and I think that Paul has used this term purposely to make a distinction. It's to make it us understand that this is not premeditated sin. It's not about doctrinal faults and errors. It's about one who's been overtaken by the weakness of the flesh. So again, the importance of understanding the contrast between those who are walking in the Spirit and those who maybe have ceased walking in the Spirit for whatever reason. The importance of understanding the reading that we did before in chapter 5, so we have that contrast. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about one who has been overtaken in a fault, one who has taken their eye off the Lord, perhaps, has been overcome by the power of the flesh, or succumbed to the weakness of the flesh. Paul goes on to explain how the spiritually strong are to deal with those who are dealing with this type of a situation. And he says that it is to be done in a spirit of meekness. This is what Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So I'll just turn to that for a moment in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul charges his young son in the faith by saying in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And so, Paul's charge to the spiritually strong is to deal with the weak in a spirit of meekness. Now that is to understand that the one that is overtaken, the overtaken one, is not to be ignored. The overtaken one is not to be excused. The overtaken one is not to be destroyed. That's not Paul's point here. What Paul is having us to understand is that the goal in a situation like this, a circumstance like this, is always restoration. Always restoration. That is the goal. If we were to go to Matthew chapter 18, for example, I would think that the Lord presents to us a similar thinking when it comes to church discipline. When we see in Matthew chapter 18, we see if somebody offends you, the prescription or the formula that the Lord Jesus gives is that you are to take that offense to that individual that's offended you and keep it between the two of you. And it says that if, you know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it says that if you come to an agreement between the two of you, and your brother. But if that failing that, then you're to go to two or three and in the face of two or three witnesses, the charge to be established. And if they still don't listen at that point, then the prescription is that you take it to the church. And if they still won't listen to the church, then you're to put that individual out and away. But the underscoring, the underlying principle here is that the goal is always restoration. It's always restoration. That word katarizo is an interesting word, the word that we're looking at. And what it means is to put in order. It also means to restore to former condition. In the secular Greek, it's a medical term for setting a fractured or dislocated bone so that it performs the way it used to, the way it was supposed to. It's the same term that we see in Mark chapter 1, verse 19, when we're referencing the apostles mending their nets. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it's rendered this way, perfectly joined together, so that we understand that what has been severed must be reunited. So I think we have a picture here of this idea of what Paul is putting across here to us about the spirit of meekness. The idea that the goal is restoration. And those that are spiritually strong have a responsibility to reach out and to restore that one who has fallen, that one who's been overtaken in a fault. And it's a very important ministry. It's a very important ministry for those that are spiritually strong to bear up those that have been overtaken and set about to restore them to a former condition. The job of restoration is often a neglected ministry in the church. There's a tendency when we find something like this amongst ourselves, there's a tendency to pretend perhaps that the thing never happened. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes the opposite extreme happens, and there is a very harsh reaction that takes place for someone who's been overtaken in the fault. Neither extreme is the right thing. Neither extreme is a good thing. Neither extreme is good for a fellowship of God's assembly. There has to be a balance. There has to be an aim. There has to be an intention of dealing with this thing in a spirit of meekness, with the goal always being restoration. And so it can only be navigated between these two extremes by those who are spiritually strong. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's a case of us standing around trying to determine who's the most spiritually strong amongst us. Not, you know, trying to decide by however means, who's the spiritually strongest one to go and deal with a situation. No, what Paul is referring to here is that those who are spiritually strong are just going to, if I can put it this way, automatically rise to the challenge. They're going to see a need and they're going to fulfill it. Because the spiritual nature is there. Because the fruit of the Spirit is operating. Because they're walking and they're being led of the Spirit. And because they are, it's just going to be something that is going to happen. It's not a case of necessarily sitting around and trying to figure out who it is. And I would suggest that if that's the case, that there's something wrong. So we begin to understand that what we have here is a very important ministry amongst us. We also have to keep in view not only that the goal is restoration, but we have to keep in mind the consideration of one's own potential for temptation. We need to be aware that all of us stumble in many things. We have to always remember that it's very easy for any one of us to fall. And the reason why Paul brings this to the attention of the Galatians is because of the prevalence of legalism that were found amongst the Galatians that made this warning necessary for Paul to talk to the Galatians. And you know, if you want to see how something is properly handled, particularly amongst legalists, just see how they apply that. So the spiritually strong are to graciously restore their weak brethren. Let's look at James chapter 5. For a moment. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we read in verse 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins, bearing the burdens of one another. It's a very important ministry. How willing are you to bear another's burdens? What is Paul painting a picture of here? What he's painting a picture of is a person who's sagging under a very heavy load. The idea here of burdens is a burden which one is which is too heavy for one to carry on their own. So the picture that Paul has for us here is one that is sagging or is shaking, struggling under a very heavy load. And he is encouraging every Christian to be involved in the ministry of burden bearing. The focus isn't so much to expect others to bear your burden, because if that was the focus, you would be very much self-focused. It always leads to pride. It always leads to strife. What God is directing us towards is being others-focused. And so this is what Paul is trying to make us understand, is that we are to be looking to serve others and how we can bear others' burdens. Are we willing to bear one another's burdens? All of us have burdens to bear, don't we? There's not one of us that don't have burdens to bear. But we are not expected to carry them alone. The Word of God, I believe, is very clear in that. We are not expected to carry our burdens alone. We must not only be prepared to help others with their burdens, we must be humble enough to accept the help of others when they reach out to us to help us in bearing our burdens. And again, we only have to look to our Lord Jesus Christ as our example. He is our great high priest, and he is willing and able to help us and to give us spiritual strength. And when we think about that, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord. That's what we read in Psalm 55, verse 22. And we further read in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that we are to cast our care upon him. And so we see a beautiful picture starting to form for us here about us bearing the burdens of one another, of the great high priest that we have at the right hand of God, who is willing to carry the load that we have. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. But you know, in God's wisdom, he has ordered it that we should bear one another's burdens. That we should bear one another's burdens. Why do I say that? There is wisdom in it because I believe that God has given us instruction to bear one another's burdens so that we might see the value of our fellowship. The fellowship, the preciousness of our fellowship is revealed as we bear one another. As we bear one another's burdens, it strengthens our fellowship. It lightens the load as we go along. And I believe that's one of the intentions that God has for his local assembly, that a group of believers in the Lord Jesus come together, that they bear one another's burdens, that they encourage one another, they lighten the load as they go along in this dark and difficult world. And it increases the preciousness of our fellowship. I wonder today if we really fully appreciate, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular, I'm just talking in a very general term, but I wonder if we really, as believers in the Lord Jesus, really fully appreciate the preciousness of the fellowship of the assembly. You know, when we see so many other things vying for our attention and so many other things pulling us away, and we see less and less, it seems, commitment to the assembly, there could be a multitude of reasons why that is. But I think one of the main reasons is because we have ceased to appreciate how precious the fellowship is, that we're perhaps not bearing one another's burdens as we should be. Because if we're bearing one another's burdens, you know, if we're loving one another as we're commanded by our Lord Jesus, we start to show something to the world that the world desperately wants, that the world desperately hungers for. And if we're not showing it, if we're not appreciating the fellowship, if we're not engaged actively in the ministry of bearing one another's burdens, I believe we start to see that we start to neglect, we start to take for granted, we start to almost forget how precious the fellowship is of the assembly, the local assembly of God's chosen people, or God's people. So bearing burdens is not limited just to the spiritually strong, of course. It's enjoined upon all Christians to engage in this duty. And so Paul not only talks about the ministry of bearing one another's burdens, he talks about bearing one's own burdens in verses 3 to 5. And this is the duty of all who follow Christ. We see in verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Paul is talking very much about guarding ourselves against pride, encouraging us to be humble. So when we are to bear one another's burdens, we have to have a humility about it. We have to recognize that we have to consider and esteem one better than themselves. And so there is a temptation to think higher of ourselves than we ought, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. And as we talked a little bit about this morning, and as we referenced in James, it's very easy that we can deceive ourselves. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says we're to be hearers, not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And there is that follow-up about lest we deceive ourselves. And so there's a recognition that we can easily deceive ourselves. And so when we have this proper view of ourselves, this proper picture, then only then can we rejoice in ourselves and not in another. And not rejoice in ourselves in and of ourselves, but rather rejoice in what the Lord has done in our lives. Again, very much underscoring this whole thought is Paul's concern about pride being seen amongst his people. And again, that is the idea of self-focus. So what we're saying here is that when we come across a brother or a sister who needs our attention, needs our support, the pride that he's talking about is not so much saying I'm more important than you are, but rather that, you know, my time is more important and my attention to my own concerns and my own problems is really just a little more important to me than you are right now. But biblical humility would say this: I'm nothing and you are something. So, let me carry your burdens. There's another part to this, of course, and we alluded to it just a moment ago, that people out of pride can refuse the help of their brethren or their sisters when they reach out to help. I learned this lesson very, very pointedly many years ago. I made reference to it at Greta Draper's funeral. And for those of you that weren't there, I'll repeat it. But when I was 25 years of age, I threw my back out quite badly, and I was laid up for almost 3 weeks. I could barely walk, and I was in tremendous pain. As I say, I was 25 years old. I thought I had the world by the tail at that point, and it was very humiliating for me not to be able to even just get off the couch, and I had to crawl around on all fours on the floor. And I was very much at the mercy of whoever was there to help. And I can remember back then, many years ago, Doug Draper and Greta Draper, we fellowshiped with them back in Cambridge, and Doug gave me a call on the phone one morning. And he said, "Dennis, you know what? I would like to be able to take you to the doctor." And I said, "Well, that's very kind of you, but you know, that's okay. I can look after things. I've got a taxi arranged to come and get me to come to the doctor and so on." And he said, "Well, I'd really like to be able to take you to the doctor to your appointments." And I insisted, no, that's fine. I'm okay." And he said, "Well, okay." And he hung up the phone. And about 10 minutes later, the phone rang again, and it was Greta. And Greta had pointed out to me, and it's a lesson I've never forgotten. She said it in such a sweet and gracious way, but I remember her saying to me, "You know what, Dennis, it would be a real blessing to Doug if you would just let him help you." I never forgot that. So I said, okay. So I hung up the phone. I got back onto the phone with Doug, and she told me not to say anything to Doug either. But I picked up the phone and I said to Doug, "You know what, on second thought, Doug, maybe I'll take you up on that offer." And Greta told me after, he was so happy, he was so joyful, and you know, Doug was faithful. He showed up every morning to take me to, because I had to go every day for a number of weeks, and he showed up faithfully every morning to take me to my doctor's appointments, and we had just a really wonderful time of fellowship. And so I never forgot Greta saying, you know, don't deny him the blessing of being able to help you. And I realized at that point just how prideful I was at that point. So it's two ways. We have to be willing to bear one another's burdens, but we have to be willing to let others reach out and help us as well. So we have to also be careful. You know, it's we can trust in being part of a group without really contributing to that work. But the Word of God makes it clear that we will be judged as individuals and not as a group. And so we have this idea of now the judgment seat of Christ. And let's look at Romans chapter 14. We'll read Romans chapter 14, and then we'll look at Corinthians chapter 5. Romans chapter 14, and we read in verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And then if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we further read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And so, we come to bearing one's own load, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and he says, "But let every man prove his own work, but then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden." This begins, of course, with self-examination. This begins with first examining ourselves. And we have to start with the fundamentals here, really. Are we even in Christ? Are we even in the Lord Jesus Christ? So we need to recognize, are we in Christ or not? And then we need to examine ourselves weekly as we observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, Paul's instruction is, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So to bear one's own load begins with self-examination. And we are to carry our own load, as we see here. We need to be looking for opportunities to serve the body. And we need to do it in a spirit of kindness, and we have to do it in faithfulness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And then we read the fruits of the Spirit that need to be evident. So we need to be looking for opportunities to serve the body. And we need to understand that the body needs you. The assembly needs you. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is gifted for the purposes of edifying the church. And to say, "Well, I don't really have much to give," or "really I have much to offer," is running contrary to what God's Word says. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're in fellowship in the local assembly, you've been gifted particularly and uniquely by God for the purposes of edifying the assembly. And if you're not exercising your gift amongst God's people, the body of Christ suffers. The body of Christ suffers. And so we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of course, verses 15 to 20, that Paul talks about the local fellowship being like a body. He talks about the various members of the body and so on, and that not all can satisfy or fulfill the requirements of another. So one may be an eye, one may be a finger, one may be a foot, and so on. And it talks about when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And so it's a very appropriate metaphor or illustration that Paul gives. And so, when we are not exercising our gift amongst the body of believers, we are hindering the body of Christ. And so, do we hinder the body of Christ by neglecting our responsibilities? Are we willing to bear our own load? Are we willing to bear our own load? We have to accept personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth. It begins with personal responsibility for our own spiritual growth. We have to be willing to learn what God wants me to know. And we have to be willing to do what God wants me to do. And so this is very important as to the reason why we need to attend every assembly and every meeting of the assembly and every function of the assembly whenever possible. Because when we are there, it provides us opportunity to learn God's will, and it provides opportunities to do what God desires. We read in Romans chapter 14 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible speaks of a day when our works will be examined before the Lord. That's the judgment seat of Christ, as we read in those two verses. So when we look at this chapter, and we look at these verses where Paul says, bear you one another's burdens, and then says, every man shall bear his own burden, do we have a contradiction here? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Is the Apostle Paul contradicting himself? What's happening here? Okay. There is no contradiction between verse 2 and verse 5, because Paul, in verse 5, is talking about our final accounting, our final accountability before God. For every man shall bear his own burden. In Galatians 6:2, Paul speaks of our need to care for others in the body of Christ. So there is a difference in the wording slightly that Paul uses here, and the word in Galatians 6:5 is a common term for backpack, man carrying a backpack, his own responsibility, whereas the word in verse 2 is talking about a load that is more than one can carry on their own. So there is a slight difference in the usage of the words. What Paul is trying to make us understand here is that we are responsible for our own work, and we will be accountable to God. We will be accountable to the great our Lord Jesus Christ at that day at the judgment seat of Christ. We will be accountable for our own work. We cannot compare ourselves to anyone else. We must follow the standard that is given to us in His Word, and we will be judged upon that. But we are expected, and we do have a responsibility to bear the burden excuse me, of others. And so this is another reason why we should be attending every meeting and every function of the assembly whenever possible, because it provides us opportunities as further to learn what God's will is, and it provides opportunities to do what God desires. And so one of those things that God would desire us to do is to bear one another's burdens. And so are we willing to do our fair share in the bearing of our own load? Are we willing to take our own responsibility, take responsibility for our own spiritual growth, take responsibility to learn what God's will is for our life, take responsibility to understand and to follow what God desires of us? In conclusion, we see that the Lord saved us that we might be zealous for good works. That's what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. What has the Lord redeemed us from? He's redeemed us from every lawless deed, and He has purified for Himself a special people. And we have to ask ourselves as we look at this, are we willing to accept the work of the Lord with zeal? And what does that look like? In accordance with what Paul tells us here in chapter 6, are we willing to bear one another's burdens out of love for one another? And are we willing to bear our own burdens out of love for the Lord? Well, Paul goes on to say in the remainder of chapter 6, that there is good to be done. So we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to bear our own load when it comes to our work being assessed and being accountable and being accountable before God and before our Lord Jesus. But he says in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's a very important ministry that we have before us, the ministry of bearing one another's burdens. and we need to be exercised about it. And simply as we look at it, I can recall when my kids were very small. I used to say this to them all the time. We were walking in the park or we were playing in the backyard or so on. I used to tell them, find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it. And so it is as we look at this. There is no shortage of burdens that are being borne amongst us, is there? We all have burdens to bear. We simply need to keep our eyes open. We need to be willing to extend ourselves. We need to find a burden, and we need to be willing to bear it. Are we willing to do so? Are we willing to show our love for one another in doing so? And are we willing to have our own burdens examined by our Lord out of love, pure love for Him? Hope we are encouraged by some of these things as we've looked in chapter 6. Let us recognize that the ministry of burden bearing is such a critical ministry in the Lord's assembly today. And may the Spirit of God convict us and exercise us to bear one another's burdens, that we might do it for His glory and for the building up of His church. Our gracious God and our living Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence and give Thee our thanks for, again, this Lord's Day, the many blessings we've received from Thy hand today. We thank Thee, our Father, for brethren and sisters in the Lord. And our Father, we know that these are difficult days that we live in. We know, our Father, that Thy people, many of Thy people, are struggling now even with heavy burdens. We pray, our Father, we would take seriously the admonition and the exhortation that we find here in Galatians chapter 6, to look for opportunities to serve one another, to reach out and to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to lighten one another's loads. And we pray, our Father, that we might be open and receptive to those who would reach out to help us. And we pray, our Father, that through this exchange, through a conviction and through a commitment to be involved in the ministry of burden bearing, we pray, our Father, that it might impress upon our hearts just how precious the fellowship is of the Lord's people. And we pray, our Father, we would hold it in high esteem, that we would value it much, and that would it infuse into our local fellowships a beautiful atmosphere of love and encouragement, and that it would further our zeal, and that it would encourage us to love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ with even greater intensity and with even greater purpose. Our Father, we just pray that You would part us with Thy blessing. We pray, our Father, that Thy Son be not returned this week, that we would each go to our homes, to the school, to our places of work, wherever we may be found, and that we would seek opportunities to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our Father, we give Thee our thanks, ask Thy blessing as we part, in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.